Hello, guys. What's going on?
Hey, Bo, Greg Papa. I just wanted to. I know how much Al meant to you, and I think you were his favorite of all time. So, what is it going to mean Sunday when you light the torch to honor Al Davis, Bo?
Wow. You are the first person to ask me a question that I don't have a comeback for or don't have an answer to. It's just that big for me. There isn't a word that can describe it. Because I have actually played for a few professional sports team owners in my day. And Al Davis, the country would call him eccentric. They would call him crazy. They would call him off of his rocker. But for me, working for this man, being employed by this man for 4 years, he was the best employer I've ever had. He was the most compassionate employer I ever had. He was the most upfront, straightforward, straight shooting person you'd ever want to deal with. Because everybody knows if Al Davis didn't like you, he would tell you. Al Davis about the size of Barney Fife. What? But he had a heart and a willpower stronger than any pack of lions on the Serengeti. And he was the type of man, he respect his players. He respect his employees. And he cared to the point to where, and I'm a part of this. Everybody called Mr. Davis crazy because he took the Raiders out of Los Angeles and moved them to Oakland. There was a reason for that. There was a reason for that. The public don't know it. The media don't know it. But he was at war with the city. He just asked one thing, fix the place up for my players. And that never happened. So he took his players and he moved. And he didn't move because he had a bad relationship with the city or with Los Angeles. He moved because he was looking out for his players. And up until he got real sick, Al Davis would call my house every Christmas, every year on my wife's birthday, wish her happy birthday, send her flowers, and call every Christmas up until he wasn't able to. And I really don't know if he did that with anybody else, but I'm speaking from what I know, from what I witnessed. And by me going down to see him 3 or 4 years ago at Soldier Field, it was almost, I got the same feeling when I walked in the room to see him, the same feeling that I got when I, after my hip surgery, but my mother was diagnosed with colon cancer. And before my hip surgery, I saw her and she was out in the yard working. A month later, I had my hip surgery. No, a week later, I had my hip surgery. And 3 weeks later, I had to go home to see her. 2 weeks after my hip surgery. And before my surgery, she was out in the yard working in her garden like she do. And in a span of 3 weeks, she was bedridden. Hospice nurse was at the house. And by me walking in the house and seeing the strongest woman, the strongest person that Bo Jackson knows can't do anything, laid up in the bed, helpless, and my sisters, who I have 5 sisters, and 4 brothers, they'd have to move her around and sit her up in the chair so she can be presentable when I walk in the room. And I could say this, if I wasn't on crutches at that time, I would have hit the floor because here I am going in to see the strongest person that I know physically, mentally, spiritually, and she's sitting there in the chair helpless. And I got the same feeling when I walked in and saw Al Davis. I got the same feeling. And I walked over to him, and I looked at him, and I hugged him. I kissed him on his forehead. Not because he is my ex-boss or anything, but I personally developed a stronger relationship with the man after my Raider days was over, simply because of the little thing that he would do every year, 2 times a year, on my wife's birthday and at Christmas. And I walked over, kissed him on his head. I held it together as much as I could, and we sat down and talked. And we talked about everything but football.
What an awesome story. Bo Jackson is joining us. He is lighting the torch. We're talking about his relationship with Al Davis here in the Wheelhouse on 95.7 The Game. For those of our younger demographic, Bo, who forget, you were drafted in 85 by the Bucks, didn't play. You obviously had the leverage of baseball. You were a great baseball player. When you were drafted by the Raiders, you were drafted late by the Raiders. What was the initial discussion like with Al? Do you remember when he said that he wanted you to come play for the Raiders?
Well, he talked to my agent at the time. At the time when I found out, I was in Toronto, Canada, playing the Toronto Blue Jays with the Kansas City Royals. And my agent called and said, hey, what you doing? I said, I'm walking back to my hotel room. He said, well, when you get back to your room, call me. I got back to the room, called him. He said, how would you like to play football? I said, don't tell me Tampa Bay is trying to kiss and make up because that's not going to happen. He said, no, it's the Raiders. I said, yes. He hung up the phone. I hung up the phone. And when I got back to Kansas City, oh, did I get it from the fans. Because the Raiders and the Chiefs are probably the two teams that hate each other the most in the NFL.
And was it simply because, Bo, that Al would allow you to play both sports and allow you to come to the Raiders after the baseball season was over? What was it that allowed you to play for the Raiders at that time when you said no previously to football?
Just what you said. Al was willing to play four games without me up until baseball season was over, or wait until my baseball season. And that was the only way that I would have played for anybody, was that after my baseball season was over, and then I would join the team. And I usually join the team. I usually join the Raiders in their fourth game, in their fourth or the fifth game. And usually when the season was over with the Royals, I went and spent a week at my home in Alabama with my wife and kids. And the next week, I got on the plane and went to Los Angeles. I got there on Monday and played on Sunday.
That's unbelievable. As you look back on that, do you
think natural, yourself,
I know, but people just can't do that. Does that amaze you looking back on it?
No, why should it? but the thing that people don't realize is that the reason you don't see multi-sports athletes in this day and age now, it's for two reasons. The internet, cell phones, all of that stuff, technology, and the fact that kids are bigger, stronger, and faster. If you took a kid that wanted to play baseball and football, and he spent his time trying to do both, the talent pool is so deep and so rich that that kid would probably be riding a bench in both sports.
But not you in football.
It was a different era.
Yeah, different time.
Different time.
You know, the one thing Bo Al would always tell me is that if you just played football and didn't get hurt, he thought you were the only guy that he ever saw that could rival Jim Brown. Looking back on it, I know you had a great career in baseball, but do you ever regret that you didn't just play football and maybe have been one of the greatest backs of all time?
Listen, I never got into football or baseball to be one of the greatest of all times. That's what the world don't understand about Bo Jackson. I dance to the beat of my own drums, and my drums don't beat Hall of Fame rhythms. My drums don't beat the greatest at this or Hall of Fame football, Hall of Fame baseball. I was blessed to run like a spook deer and had an arm like a high-powered rifle. And, you know, one day somebody said, hey, I want to make you a millionaire if you come and do what you've been doing all your life as a kid. Come and do it on my team. That's all it was. Sports on my thing, sports for me ranked third on my most important things in life. And a lot of people find that hard to believe. But once I left sports, I never looked back. The only time I talk about it is when you guys bug me about it. And I'm not saying that in a negative way. You have to understand, people have told me that I was good for baseball and football. But I turn around and tell people, baseball and football was great for Bo Jackson. From the standpoint, it has allowed me to be the man that I am, to be in the position that I am right now. And just like you just said earlier, if I hadn't have gotten hurt, I could have been this, I could have been that. No, I look at it as a blessing from this standpoint. I'm a firm believer in that God put speed bumps in everybody's road of life. It's up to us to slow down, get over that speed bump, and move on down the road. My hip injury was nothing more than a speed bump in my road of life. I learned how to slow down, get over it, and move on down the road. Now, instead of being someone, back then, being someone's employee, I'm now somebody's employer. And I'm making a difference in somebody else's life from an employee standpoint to philanthropic endeavors that I'm doing. So I love my life. I actually enjoy where I am. Do I miss football and baseball? I miss it for one reason. I miss it from the camaraderie standpoint, from hanging out, listening to guys tell jokes, listening to guys rag on each other, guys ragging on me, I'm ragging on them, and so forth and so on. But as far as my job, as far as being a running back, being an outfielder, no, I really don't miss it.
Thank you, sir, for all your time. I look forward to seeing you on Sunday, Bo. It'll be an honor.
Actually, I cannot wait, because one thing that I've never done that I will do on Sunday, I'm going to the black hole, baby.
You never been down there?
I'm going to the black hole. and if you're not a Raider fan, you better stay the hell away.
The black hole's going to love you. Go down there and visit with all of them, Bo. They're going to love it.
Out there. I'm coming to the black hole Sunday.
All right, man. Thank you, Bo.
Thank you, guys. You all have a nice day.